I am Nick Harcourt, and the first thing I want to do is say hello to Pearl Charles. Hi.
Hi.
Congratulations on your new album, which is getting reflections from my window, but it's out today.
It's out today. It's a big day.
As we record this, we're recording it on release day, which is the 15th?
The 15th. It's hard to keep track of the date.
Lovely color as well.
I love that Blue Dream kind of tie-dye vinyl.
Congratulations. Magic Mirror is the title of the new album, and you've got some songs that you're going to play for us as well. But before we do that, let's catch up a little bit. I mean, how have you been the last 9 months? Where have you been? And did you record this before or after lockdown?
Well, we recorded the album before and it was finished in January. It was originally going to come out in May, but as things started to change so quickly, we thought maybe we'll just put it on hold for a minute and see what happens. And I'm kind of glad that we did, because I think this feels like a really good time, a new year, a new moment. But the last 9 months have been, you know, pretty locked down in LA. And then just about a month and a half ago, my boyfriend and I decided that we were just going to pack up and move out to Landers near Joshua Tree. So I've been out in the desert setting up a home studio, and that's been so fun and a great way to stay busy during the quarantine.
A big difference, obviously, from being in LA, but at the same time, not really, because you couldn't go out when you were here anyway. So
exactly. I mean, it's kind of nice to like find the peace and quiet that, you know, you're trying to find that at home with quarantine, but there is an energy about who's around you and the city. And I mean, I love LA. I was born and raised there and my heart will always be there, but it's kind of nice to really get into the zone, and we don't have any neighbors or anything. So we can like make music all night long, and, you know, we're just one with nature.
So let me ask you this. What's the dumbest thing that you bought on Amazon during lockdown?
Dumbest? That's a good question. Well, I mean, I have a affinity to mushrooms, so I did buy like some mushroom lanterns. I don't know if that's dumb, but definitely was not necessary.
The weirdest thing, then.
What? Sorry, one more time.
The weirdest thing.
Well, weirdest. I mean, these are great questions. Why am I not able to come up with? I'm just thinking of the most recent thing that I bought, which was an air purifier and a humidifier, which, again, not really that weird.
Yeah.
Living in the desert. But yeah, those, you know, I am a big Amazon shopper, which I don't know if I should admit that, but it's true. I mean, you can't help yourself. It's just so easy.
Well, you know, I'm renowned for my deep and probing questions. So thank you for trying to answer that one.
I wish I had prepared. I could have looked through my orders.
So tell us about the songs on this record. You said it was done and actually originally supposed to be out, obviously, a year ago, almost. When did you record it? How do you record? Do you record at home? Do you record in a studio? Do you demo and then go into a studio? How did you put this collection together?
Well, I went into it with a producer, this guy, Louis Pesikoff, who did Best Coast's first album and Nikki Lane's first album. So he has a really diverse background. And I think he's a great person to work with because he's really, because of his diverse background, he doesn't just have one style that he does. He is really about working with the artist and helping them execute their vision and exactly what they're going for. So he and I started writing a few songs together, and I'd already had some written. I had actually gone to a songwriting retreat in Nantucket right after I finished my last album, Sleepless Dreamer. And then over the last, last year was kind of a wash. So I'm always just like, over the last year, over the course of 2019, we were still promoting and touring Sleepless Dreamer. So we would get into the studio whenever we were home for a few months. Lewis has a studio in Echo Park right near the park. So we would go there. It's really central for where me and all my bandmates were living. And yeah, it was great. It was a really fun recording process. And we just kind of started, we did some demoing of some of the songs, the ones that he and I wrote together. And, you know, we'd also just kind of workshopped the songs over the years on the road since I made the record with my touring band. And we've been touring and kind of, you know, road testing stuff for a while.
So you're going to play a couple of songs for us. What's the first one that we're going to check in with? And I know, obviously, you've shot these and recorded these for us out in the desert. What are we going to listen to first?
The first track is the one that you first seemed to like, which was Take Your Time.
Oh, good. Okay, here it is. Take Your Time. And this is 88.5 Live at Home. I'm Nick Harcourt and Pearl Charles.
hear your star is on the rise. Don't you let it pass you by. You were busy getting high. Why don't you open up your eyes? Clouds will keep on rushing by. Nothing ahead, nothing behind. You know the sun still loves the sky. When she opens up to cry,
okay, so that was great. Thank you.
I'm glad you liked it.
Let's talk about the songs, because as you said, they were written and recorded before lockdown. And I'm interested to know how your songwriting might have shifted in the last year. But if you look at this collection, you alluded to the fact that they'd been played on the road, a lot of them first. So these songs have been kicking around a while?
across the board, like some of them, as I feel like with all my records, kind of, I, you know, you have so many songs and they don't always all go together. And then you come to the crossroads of making your next record and you look back into that back catalog and you're like, oh, this one never really made it on. I mean, I know that's the story with the Silver Springs, the Fleetwood Mac song, which is like one of my all-time favorites. So it's kind of funny how that goes. Or that one actually just got cut from the record, but that's actually the story of That's All Right by Fleetwood Mac, which is on Mirage, that they had, you know, she'd written it for a long time. And anyway, that's enough about Fleetwood Mac. Let's talk more about me. I could talk about them all day long. Don't get me wrong. They are my favorite band and a huge inspiration, which, you know, that is a part of my songwriting for sure.
Yeah.
But the songs in the album is really very introspective. It's a lot about self-reflection and self-exploration. I have the song Imposter about imposter syndrome. And then right after that, there's the song Don't Feel Like Myself. And there was a lot of psychedelic exploration that went on that helped me on that journey. And okay. Yeah.
So if you were to look at this now that it's done and out, where do you think it fits in your evolution as a songwriter from your earlier work?
I think when I first started, you know, my very first band was an old-timey country duo inspired by like the Carter Family and stuff. Then I went on to play drums in like a garage kind of 60s sort of band. And so that's where I was coming from when I made my first EP. So it was a little more garage influenced, a little more surfy, and I was trying to sort of shy away from my country roots and my like Americana influences. I think on my second record, I started to embrace that more and also get more into soft rock and all these other kinds of genres that were surrounding the other 70s stuff that I love. And so I kind of began the journey that I think that Magic Mirror continues and really expands on. I think that we went further with the disco. We went further with the country and Americana. We went further with the soft rock, because I think that that's what I was going for on my last album. But I think that we really like stepped it up this time.
I think musically, there's a lot of different styles on this one, isn't there? Like you said, like there's a little bit of a disco vibe. I mean, the kickoff track on this, which is called Only for Tonight. Tell us a little bit about that song and why it's first on the album.
Well, the album does have a sort of chronological story that starts out with the first song's Only for Tonight, which is like kind of about being single and going out on the town, which obviously no one's doing these days, but it's kind of fun as an escapist memory. And about, you know, one night stands and waking up the morning after, maybe a little bit regretful. The second song is kind of like goes hand in hand with it. It's What I Need. And it's about a relationship that you know that you need to move on from, but you still love the person and you still have a connection with them, but it's just time. And that can be a really tough crossroads. Then the next few songs, Imposter, Don't Feel Like Myself, Magic Mirror, Slipping Away, even all kind of tell the story of someone, that person being me, going on an exploration of who I really am as a newly single person and what I'm looking for, what I want to say as an artist and what I want my impact to be in the world. I mean, it's a very autobiographical album. And then the last couple songs of the record sort of like pick up at the end of the story where, and it's actually really how it went. I started writing songs where I was kind of imagining the partner that I wanted in my life that would, you know, be able to tie up the end of the story of the album. And I ended up meeting my boyfriend who actually helped me write one of the songs on the record. And the songs are like All the Way, As Long as Your Mine, Sweet Sunshine Wine, kind of about falling in love and how even despite the world being crazy, which, you know, I wrote this before the pandemic, but things have been crazy for a long time.
A little while, yes.
Yeah, exactly. This, I mean, it leveled up in craziness, but it definitely wasn't something new. And kind of how if you have that partner in life, which, I mean, it's, again, as I said, it's an introspective album. It really is about finding yourself and finding that. But once you do that, that can kind of allow you to be in a really beautiful symbiotic partnership. And I think that I called that sort of energy into my life, and it's been really great. I mean, I've been really lucky to have his support during quarantine, and creatively we get to work on music together all the time. So
yeah, it makes a huge difference when you have a partner who is supportive of what you do, as opposed to, you know, some of the people that I'm sure we've all been with at one time or another, who perhaps, you know, take a little bit away from you instead of giving you something. I'm going to be interested to hear the next songs, obviously, after this, now that your situation has changed. But I wanted to, I wanted to ask you one other question about, you know, saying they're about somebody, which is me. Do you write as yourself, or do you write as a character?
I definitely write as myself. And I think there really is a divide between the artists who are characters and the artists who are themselves. And not that one is in any way better than the other. They're just definitely two very different paths that you can take. That being said, as I was just talking about with my boyfriend, we're going to collaborate on a side project. So I kind of am excited to allow myself to try something new. But songwriting is very cathartic for me. It is like my therapy. And so naturally, that process ends up being very self-oriented.
I want to talk a little bit more about songwriting and what's next. But first up, you're going to play another song for us. What are we going to listen to now?
This one's What I Need.
Okay. It's 88.5 Live, Nick Harcourt with Pearl Charles. And What I Need.
One, two, three.
Seems like you've got something to say, but the cat's always got your tongue. Put it off for another. It's gonna come, because you keep on holding back. I guess that we both do. And it's easier to live this lie than to tell the truth. Oh baby, I don't wanna lose you, lose you. Tired of living in between. Oh, baby, I don't
that was another great song. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for recording them for us as well, so we could sort of drop them into this interview. I'm trying to figure out what's hanging off the beams behind you. I'm so sorry, but you know, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at this beautiful rustic place, and over your left shoulder, is there like an angel hanging down there, or a G.I. Joe or something? I'm not too sure.
I mean, all over this house. Oh, yeah, I think that is an angel that you're seeing there.
Oh, good.
This house is really incredible. I'll tell you a little bit about it because it kind of has an amazing story. It's called the Boulder House, and it was built by the first Native American Playboy Bunny, who was from out here.
Wow.
So it has I actually wanted to go up there and sit, but it's kind of hard to see on the Zoom. There's a room that's very like Madonna Inn-esque. It's fully built into the boulders, and you sleep amongst the rocks. It's an incredible place. I love it. And I come out here to write and, you know, meditate and take psychedelics and do all that good stuff.
Say no more. Getting ready for the next record. You talk about writing, obviously. So what have you been up to in lockdown from the point of view of writing and demoing? You say you've got a side project as well. Do you have the next album ready, or do you have music ready to record? Have you recorded anything else already?
Well, I mean, I think that's definitely one of the unexpected blessings of the pandemic, was that I actually got ahead of the cycle that we're usually on when we're on this album cycle and when we're touring.
Sure.
I actually got the time to work on writing new songs, and I have a bunch ready to go, and I'm hoping to record, you know, in the next couple of months. So that I'm really excited about, like, to really be able to get ahead of it and have stuff ready to go. I do a lot of co-writing, so that kind of shifted to be more remote, which is different. You know, I'm into like in-person collaboration, so I have missed that. But like I said, I've been working with my boyfriend on writing songs, and we're kind of doing a mix of, like, you know, Wings, Fleetwood Mac, kind of couples rock band.
I've never heard it called that before, but I like it. Couples rock.
I stole that from my manager. I can't take credit. I did not make it up, but you know, it's a whole genre, Richard and Linda Thompson. I mean, it's all the stuff that I love. So
yeah,
turns out it's actually a good formula.
Well, hopefully, you know, without the craziness of, you know, like the Fleetwood Mac people.
Right. Exactly. Or ABBA. That was another favorite band of mine that had some crazy relationship drama.
Well, they were all taking the wrong drugs.
Definitely. They need to come out to the desert.
So when you go into the studio to record, are you going to head back into LA to do that, or are you going to work remotely a little bit? How do you think you'll record in the, you know, in the immediate future? Because we ain't going touring at least for another 6 or 7 months.
At least. I mean, if we're lucky, that I would love to be touring in 6 months. We'll see what happens. But we were talking about maybe recording at Sunset Sound, so we'll see. That's kind of like, you know, these things that are on the bucket list. And like, I feel like I'm so lucky to get to make my life music, and I get to do the things that I dreamed about. So I hope that happens. But whatever studio we end up at, I think it will probably be in LA, although there's some great studios out here in Joshua Tree as well. So we'll see what happens. I'm waiting for my bass player who played on the record. He went down to Australia because that's where he's from. So he got out of Dodge, but hopefully he'll be able to come back in the coming months and we'll be able to get down to it.
For those who don't know, Sunset Sound is a very famous old school studio on Sunset, obviously in Hollywood. I was in there a couple of years ago doing something with a band. And the thing that struck me, and I don't know if you've been in there yet or not, but the thing that struck me about it, like, it feels like they haven't done anything to the place since the 70s either. You walk in and you feel like you're walking into a studio where a Fleetwood Mac record could be made.
I've never actually been there, but I mean, okay. I can't tell you how excited that makes me to hear, because that's like, that's the dream. And that's kind of the magical thing about our place in the desert too. We sort of happened upon it, and it really is like a 70s time capsule, down to like the appliances and stuff. So being in a studio with that kind of energy, I'm glad to hear that they've have preserved it and, like, you know, not tried to update it too much, because that's the magic that's in there. And, you know, LA actually, it's a shame. I feel like LA doesn't preserve its landmarks as much, but at least, you know, that kind of stuff, the studios and those places are being maintained. Because there's a few studios like that that are like untouched.
You know what I think is really interesting is obviously there were so many studios in Los Angeles, and then, you know, about 20 years ago, they all started, you know, closing up shop, because you can make a record at home now, and, you know, spending $1,500 or $2,000 a day in a studio is just not on a lot of people's budgets. But I think the good thing is that, you know, we're down to maybe half a dozen or so, and they all seem to be working. You know, I have a friend who runs the Village Studios, and they're always working. These studios are very, very busy because, you know, there's only a couple of them that, you know, people like yourself can choose from right now. Let me ask you before we hear our final song. So clearly there's no touring right now, maybe late summer, fall, who knows, but, do you have plans to do any streaming events or to do anything on Stage It or any kind of, event around the album that people can, you know, see you performing?
Well, we just did one for Rough Trade, which was really fun. That was kind of like the big record release one. And we did it a few days in advance of the record actually coming out. That's on their Instagram, Rough Trade NYC. So if anyone wants to go check that out, that is there. But on top of that, we definitely have a few more things planned, just on a variety. This, you know, this is one of them. And then we also are going to be doing something for a English blog called The Line of Best Fit. So if you check out my Instagram, I'll definitely always be posting it, and I'll just be posting some live videos directly there.
And a quick heads up as well, outside of working at 88.5 and KCSN, like most people in this business, I have two or three other jobs. And one of them is doing content for this Spark Network. And you're going to do something with me in about 6 weeks or something. So I can't wait to show people that as well. So listen, it's been great actually meeting you, because I've been a fan for a while, and having the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about your music. You're going to do one more song for us before we wrap this up. What are you going to finish with?
The final song is Don't Feel Like Myself.
It's been such fun to meet you and hang out and do this. Thank you, Pearl Charles. It's Nick Harcourt, and this is 88.5 live.
Thank you for having me. It's been so nice talking to you.
Spent most of my life standing around skating by. Some days you wake up walking on the wrong side. A face in the mirror, your reflection won't look you in the eye. Too scared to die, but barely. best thing.